Today on the Client Whisperer Show, we have a very special episode for you with someone who has spent his life's work figuring out how to help people get healthy, prevent diseases, or cure diseases that are already happening. It's pretty good timing, and he has some very special resources that he's giving away to all of you for free. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Client Whisperer Show. I'm your host, Tony Banta, and I am the Client Whisperer. I've spent over a decade running multiple six- and seven-figure client businesses, and I've learned that the secret to success in a client business comes down to one thing: leadership. Bad client behavior is the enemy, and with the right curriculum, infrastructure, and mindset, you can lead your clients to great success and scale your business the easy way. You know, it's every now and then that you have a week like this week, or a few weeks like what we're seeing right now, where the world is in a crazy place. And so we're doing our part. We have some new announcements. We have a new course that's actually launching next week that we're incredibly excited for. And you're going to see some content begin to start to get out there. But this week has been all about helping. We started this week out with one of our partners, a lawyer, offering some free resources around what your employee obligations are, given some of the new laws that have been coming out. We spent the beginning of the week talking to Dan Nicholson about the federal stimulus programs in the United States and how you can take advantage of those. And he offered up some free resources. And today I'm excited because none of that matters. None of any of those things matter if we don't have our health. And we have someone coming on today to talk to you about how you can use food, how you can use nutrition to stay healthy and potentially even to prevent things like the coronavirus. So, without further ado, I want to welcome you to my friend, longtime friend, and colleague, Beldon Combe.
Hey, Beldon. How's it going, man?
Awesome, Tony. Awesome. Long time no see, man.
I know. It's great to catch up. I shared this a little bit before we hopped on with the listeners. In internet time, we go way back. We've known each other for years, which is exponentially longer than anyone knows anyone on the internet.
Right?
It's great to see you. First and foremost, how are you? You know, these are some crazy times that we're living in. How are you? You know, how's your family? Is everyone okay?
We are doing fantastic here. I actually found myself on the road when all of this clampdown started. So it took me 2 weeks to find my way back from Dallas, Texas, that normally would have been, a few hours.
Yeah.
We stop off some places along the way, but did make it back home, and we're doing great here.
Good. It's always hard to tell how much of a situation like this are the horror stories that we see on the news as opposed to the real experience. I've shared this before. One of my best friends, his dad, actually has it and was in the ICU, was in a coma until just about 4 days ago. And he finally came out of it, which is really great. And that's what we like to see. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you have some free resources that we'll be sharing with all the listeners and putting in the show notes that I'm promptly sending over to him to use in his recovery. Related to your background, which is in nutrition, but your background before that is in metabolic biology. Do I have that right?
Close. And actually, there was no before nutrition because this is how I chose to use my education. I studied metabolic cellular biology to fix me. And that's the backstory. I needed to fix me. But what I learned was what people need to know, really, really need to know. And it's nothing profound. It's common knowledge if you study metabolic cellular biology. but it's not what's being presented in the public. And people need to get a firm grip. So I chose to use my education to help people to heal themselves nutritionally.
And you have a really interesting story that I remember hearing from you when we were sharing a meal before going to a mastermind meetup in some city somewhere, Nashville or, you know, Charlotte or somewhere. But do you want to share some of that with the listeners? Some of your, you know, when you say that you use that to fix you, that, you know, what was your life like leading up to that?
I was Joe Smith. And what I mean by that is I was every man, right? I had a building company at the time. I was a builder for 25 years and I found myself growing progressively. In fact, my generation, Tony, was the generation that kind of got blindsided with the obesity epidemic. And what I mean by that is when I was in grade school, there were two fat kids in my school. Pardon the insensitive terminology, but that's what we said back then, right?
Yeah.
And I remember both of their names, Larry and Leanne. And the only reason I remember those names isn't because they were my best friends. It's because there were only two. Mm-hmm. You know, it was different. So I remember their names, but by the time I got to middle school, maybe a quarter of my class had become overweight and some obese. By the time I got to high school, my graduating class was about half overweight, maybe a third obese. By the time I graduated college, I graduated in an obese class. So I literally lived through that generation where all of this happened. And the obesity epidemic, we talk about the pandemic now.
Yeah.
Before this pandemic was the obesity pandemic and everything that came with it, diabetes, heart disease, and everything that came with it. When I was 39 years old, I woke up in the ER and I honest to God did not think I was going home. I thought that was it. And the biggest thought in my mind was I didn't get to say goodbye to anybody. That's really the only thing I was thinking about, right? No flashback of my life, none of that shit. Just I didn't get to say goodbye to anybody. And that was profoundly painful to me. And I didn't think I was going home, but I did. What had happened is I'd had my first of three major coronary events and two more to come after that. But when I did come home from the hospital, I'm like, this is not okay. This is just not okay. So I tried what there was to try. Right. I tried the diets. My doctor told me to do some stuff. I did all the stuff I'm supposed to do. I got a few books. I read up, you know, everything that we're hearing now people doing. Right. And while I got some temporary weight loss results, I never felt better. My heart disease didn't go away. I'm still borderline diabetes. And I'm starting to realize that weight loss really doesn't matter. There's something else that matters. Yeah. And that's why I went back to school. And I really didn't know what to study. I didn't, because there's holes in everything. Do I want to go learn how to be a doctor? Well, doctors don't study nutrition and preventive stuff. They study reactive medicine. And do I want to be a nutritionist? Well, they don't study how the body works. They're just studying what's in food, right? Do I want to be this? That? Nothing fit. So I actually went back to school and I created a brand new path. I called it metabolic cellular biology. My primary focus was cellular biology, but I brought in all of the other things that I needed to know to create a rounded picture of how this stuff works.
Yeah.
When I learned how this stuff works, I could start asking questions like, why are we stopping production of cholesterol with cholesterol meds? Why is that stuff in there? What's it doing? Is there something we need to fix so that it'll go away on its own? And when you start finding out how things work, it created a brand new picture of what to do to fix the body and how to use food to do it. And it was just so eye-opening and so mind-blowing to me that I had to share it. There was just no choice. So I left the building industry, started doing what I do. I've tried to bankrupt myself a few times in the process because business isn't my thing. Helping people is. And, you know, got through those times and now we're able to just do what we do and help people. And it's such a, I'm so grateful to be where I'm at, able to do what I'm doing.
Yeah. There were a few things that you shared in there that I think are really interesting. the timeliness of this is fascinating. When we look at the numbers that the federal government right now are sharing related to the pandemic that's happening, we're looking at some estimates of 100,000 to 250,000 or so, you know, deaths from this over the next year. How many people die from not understanding what it is that you understand in the course of a year? Do you have any stats on that? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
No, but well, the truth is just about everyone. So if I can take just 5 minutes and kind of put a mirror on what's going on, if that's cool. So we have massively escalating diseases besides coronavirus, right? Heart disease has been just spiraling out of control for about 3 decades now. Diabetes has been spiraling out of control. But the thing is, everyone who's anyone in treatment of these diseases knows that they are 100% preventable. We know that. 100% preventable because they are caused by what we're putting into our body. And if we change what we're putting into our body, we can just not have those things. Those are not infectious diseases. They're environmental. They're what we're putting in. So people in America, we like to tout the fact that our average lifespan is increasing. We're up to like 78.6 years. If you go back, you know, as little as 4 decades, we're at about 76 years. So yeah, we're living longer. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. This is great. But we have another statistic that we keep track of, and it's called the average healthy lifespan. And this is how long do people live without the intervention of life-saving drugs and medical equipment. And this will floor you. This will absolutely blow your mind. The average healthy lifespan in America today is 62.4 years. In other words, the average person is on life-sustaining drugs or medical equipment before they freaking retire. Now, what quality of retirement are you going to get when your life is dependent upon drugs or medical equipment to keep living? Quality of life, way, 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 way down. And that, Tony, would be our average life expectancy if we didn't have life-sustaining drugs and medical equipment. It would be 62.4 years. Terrifying. It's terrifying. But that's happening because of what we're putting into our body. Now, you introduce a pandemic that's sweeping the earth, and who is the primary candidate for death at the hands of this virus? Immune-compromised people. People with heart disease, people with diabetes, people with thyroid issues, people with other immune diseases. Yeah. And we already know what? We already know that those diseases are caused by what we're putting in our body. So do the extrapolation. The people that are most at risk of dying from coronavirus are people that have ruined their body by what they're putting into it. In other words, death by coronavirus is largely preventable if we're not putting the stuff in our body that weakens it in the first place. And that is freaking powerful.
Yeah. Well, and that's the you know, that's the secret to health, right? Is that the way that so many doctors study, the way that so many experts study, they have their silo of education. But health doesn't happen in a silo. Health happens in the body. And so it's not about curing heart disease. It's about being healthier and then that making the heart disease irrelevant or making the heart disease something that never actually manifests. And the same thing with coronavirus and everything else. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I want to be clear when it comes to doctors. If I have something catastrophic happen to me, like happened when I was 39 and I woke up in the ER, there's no place on earth I would rather be than right here with what we know how to do to fix things, right? So we have the best medical establishment on the planet in some respects, but it's like looking through a keyhole. Our doctors are taught to look through a keyhole. There's such a small portion of the room that they can see through that keyhole.
Right.
And they're not taught to just walk into the room and holistically see it all, right? And when you walk into the room and you holistically see it all, you can start looking at prevention. And prevention is a tool to not have to go there in the first place. Coronavirus is an interesting thing because it's first of all being reported terribly.
You mean the media is not doing a good job at reporting a story? You mean that they're getting it wrong, Belden?
The media is doing an incredible job because their primary job is to get advertisers. And the way you do that is by being sensationalistic. So they're doing a great job of doing what they're supposed to do, right?
Yep.
As the government is doing a great job of what they're supposed to do. The misconception in the public is people believing that the government's job is to take care of me.
Yep.
That's not the government's job. The government's job is to protect the system. And flattening the curve is all about protecting the emergency medical system. You and I, we're going to get this. There is no question mark about that.
Yeah.
We are going to get it, whether it's now or whether it's later, because flattening the curve is all about that later thing, right?
Yep.
We are definitely going to get it. Are we doing our job? Not the government's job to protect you and me. That's our job.
Yeah.
Are we doing our job to make sure that when we get this thing, we're able to create the antibody that will protect it from us? That's building blocks, man. Are we putting the stuff in our body, the building blocks that our body needs to create that brand new life form?
Yeah.
And that's where reporting is falling down. That's where social media is falling down, is the misconception that if we just stay inside, we're good. Right? That's false sense of security. We need to be doing the right things in here.
Yeah. Well, and that is the, you know, we talk about this around, we have a training that we use for our clients all the time, talking about boundaries. And we use the example of, you know, you can have a physical boundary that, you know, like my phone stops ringing, like unless it's an emergency contact, that, you know, it does not make a noise or vibrate after 8 o'clock at night. I do not want that, like, unless it's my wife or my mom, I do not want to, you know, be disturbed, right? That's only because those are the people that are, you know, those are the only people that I'm responsible for, you know, after 8 p.m., right? Like boundary. But if I run into a client that, you know, somewhere, or I'm on my computer and I happen to see an email from a client, that if I don't have the mental boundary to say, I'm not going to open up that case, I'm not going to think about that right now, I'm not going to go down that road, then the physical boundary is incredibly fragile. Or rather, that's protecting me and I'm incredibly fragile, right? Like, I'm keeping myself fragile from the physical, you know, from the physical boundary. But if I have the mindset boundary to say, like, yeah, someone can, you know, message me anytime, and that, you know, I'm not going to go down that mental, rabbit hole and think about that, and I've developed that boundary in my mind, that, you know, because I know that I'll take care of it tomorrow, well, then I'm much more stronger, I'm much more resilient. And that, you know, you saying that about staying inside is only a physical, you know, that's only a physical boundary. At some point in time, for the sake of the global economy and our own need to, you know, eat and everything else, we're going to have to go outside. We're going to have to spend time with, you know, people who have this, or, you know, people who are infected. It's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is only a matter of time. And there's three elements of flattening the curve that are wise to think about. I kind of liken this to driving down the highway, right? Knowing what's on the road ahead of you gives you a lot of insight on what to do, right? Mm. Whether it's good news, bad news, or ugly news. Hey, Tony, you get to drive on this freeway for the next hour. There's not a car on it. It's all yours.
Sounds cool. Great.
Yeah, awesome. And you're going to have a certain mindset going down that road, right?
Yep.
If I said, Tony, there's like 50 drunk drivers on the road up ahead of you. Is your mind shift about how you drive going to change?
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Now,
that's why I don't drive at New Year's Eve.
There you go. Exactly. But on the same token, if I'm lying to you and there's really no drunk drivers on the road, then yep. I just needlessly created a bunch of stress in you. And you're like doing all this defensive driving that's completely unnecessary and potentially going to cause a problem just because of my sensationalism, right? Yeah. And that's why I think knowing the truth about what's happening with coronavirus, good, bad, or ugly, is super important, because if you know the truth, you know what action to take. You know how to protect yourself. You know how to be defensive. If you're getting sensationalistic news, you're either going to overreact and take action that's potentially dangerous, or you're going to underreact, right? And that's why it's so, that's why it's so important to know what's going on here. And I'd like to give the 1, 2, 3 on it, if you don't mind.
Please. Absolutely. Cool. That's why you're here.
Awesome. Love it. The 1, 2, 3 on flattening the curve and social distancing is this. Flattening the curve is for the system. It's not for the individual. We need to understand that. We need to understand why it's being done. If we overload hospitals, we risk people dying from things other than coronavirus because we're not able to take care of the situation and manage it, right?
Yep.
So flattening the curve, number one, it's about the health system. It's not about you and me. Number two, we are going to get infected eventually. Know that. And because that's the truth, we need to take the right steps to protect ourselves internally. And that happens through immune system. It doesn't happen through masks. It doesn't happen. Don't get me wrong. Wear your mask in public. You sneeze, that keeps your sneeze to yourself, right? No sense getting your sneeze to 80 people around you.
Totally.
Wear it in public. Be smart. Don't be dumb. But that mask is not going to prevent you from being infected eventually. We all are going to get this thing, right? Statistically. Might be a few that escape, but statistically. That doesn't mean, though, that everybody's going to get sick. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to get seriously sick. It means that you're going to catch a virus. What happens to you is going to depend upon the strength of your immune system. Mm. That is your line of defense, right? Number three about flattening the curve is a segment of the population will not be infected initially. What does that mean? Well, that means that the world is absolutely ripe for a second wave of the virus to come through because a segment of the population is not immune. The way a virus stops going through is population immunity. If we don't achieve population immunity, the virus comes back through a second time. But that's what's happening in China right now. So be aware of that. Don't be afraid of it. Be aware of it. You catch viruses every single day of your life. Your immune system's job is to make sure that they don't knock you down. So let the immune system do its job and keep that the focus. Then we know there's drunk drivers on the road. We know this is not the time for stress eating that's going to weaken the body. This isn't the time for cheat days that are going to weaken the body.
Oh, no.
I know,
Belden.
Right?
I've been gaining the COVID-19 over here.
Yeah, I know. You know, dude, we're standing on the top of a hill with a bunch of pointy sticks, and the Huns are running up the hill at us. Our job is to poke them with the pointy sticks and keep them from overpowering us, right?
Yeah.
Is that the time to say, hey, General, I'm going to stop and take a cheat day? Hey, General, I'm going to stop and go stress for a while? Hey, General, I'm going to... No, it's not. It's the time to poke the damn Huns with the pointy sticks, right? This is not the time to tell ourselves all the things that we tell ourselves to make excuses to put shit into our body. This isn't the time for it. This is the time to build an immune system that's full of pointy sticks to fight off the Huns. Afterwards, we can go do some relief eating, right? But this isn't the time to make the same excuses we've been making all of our lives, saying, I'm only human, I need cheat days, I'm only human, I'm going to do this. No, bullshit. This is the time to stand up, put the right stuff in your body to beat the virus down and keep our body strong. And that's
fantastic.
Our focus now.
Yeah. Well, and you have a resource when it comes to what are the right things, because I think that's the natural question, right? That's the you know, like... the right things, it's the food pyramid, right? Like we've been taught this, the, you know, maybe they've amended it a few times, but you know, the government gets it right, right? It's the food pyramid. We're supposed to eat a bunch of processed grains at the bottom, and then we're supposed to eat the, you know, like, no, is that not right?
No, this would be where you get the wrong people on this show and they're like, yeah, man, yeah. No, no, because I know you're Tony
Banta. I just teed you up there.
I know you're Tony Banta. You're going to bait me. You're going to bring the wild passion out. No, this is the crazy stuff, because what's being touted as nutrition in the world comes from politics, not from doctors and science. And that is a scary, scary thing, because we don't trust politicians for anything, anything. And yet somehow we're trusting them for what we put into our body, right? I've got a video clip of CBS News, 1977, when the McGovern Commission was putting together the very first nutritional standard in the United States of America that was released in 1980. And in this video clip, one of the lead scientists said, don't put this to the public yet. We don't have the data back.
Yeah.
And Senator McGovern said, no lie, unlike a research scientist, senators don't have the luxury of time to wait until all the data comes in to make decisions. And the McGovern Commission created the entire nutritional pyramid, the entire beat down cholesterol, the entire fat is bad. All of that came from a commission without the input of the scientific community, because the scientific community didn't have the data to give input yet.
Yeah.
Boom. We have a nutritional standard created by politicians, not scientists. And to this very day, scientists are saying that don't eat fat, don't eat cholesterol stuff is the reason for the pandemic of heart disease. They're blaming that set of rulings for the immense escalation of disease that's happened since then. It is absolutely not the right way to eat. When you get into the body and you look at the body from the inside out, there's four things you got to know, and I'll spill it right here. And then if people follow the resource, great. We're giving the resource away for free, so I don't mind teasing it for free, right? The one, two, three, four. 85% of all the nutrient building blocks that your body needs comes from dark leafy greens. I'm sorry. I know people hate them. People don't want to eat them. Your mother cooked it bad. You have childhood trauma. I get it. Get over it. Learn how to cook them in ways that are appealing. 85% of what your body needs is in that stuff. And if you're not getting that stuff, you cannot possibly have a body that's strong enough to fight disease. Right.
And so you're talking dark leafy greens, spinach, kale, chard, things like that.
If it's made out of leaves and it's not lettuce, and let's be honest on this, lettuce is kind of like hard green water. But if it's not lettuce and it's made out of leaves, chances are it's going to be good for you. So mustard greens, chard, kale, spinach, dandelion greens. And when you start expanding and trying things, you find out that some things are pretty damn good. Don't overcook it. But you find that mustard greens, if you just pick them off the plant and eat them raw, they're a lot like horseradish, man. They'll clear your sinuses out like that.
Yep.
Dandelion greens are even stronger. Cook them a little bit, and they're great with your tacos because of that bite, right?
Mm.
So, you know, expand and try things out. 80% is right there. That's number one, okay? Number two, vegetables that are highly fibrous. And don't blend this stuff, because then it's not highly fibrous anymore. You do that smoothie and you're like, man, I'm getting all my vegetables. They can't do their job because I just cut the shit out of them and I can't get the fiber anymore. No, you got to chew this stuff up the way God designed, the way evolution designed. Doesn't really matter where you come from. You have to reach the same conclusions. That fiber.
But wait, God didn't invent the Vitamix?
You know, maybe he gave people a lot of intelligence and smarts. So maybe, but I really don't think it was designed to give us all baby food, right?
Okay.
We're adults. We got to eat big people food too.
Yeah.
But that fibrous vegetable is designed to clean you out. I mean, that's what it does. It keeps all that bacteria in your gut completely free and clean so that it can do its job of digesting and assimilating food. It keeps that whole tract clean. If you're not getting it, you're not cleaning yourself out, then you got problems. That's how we get colon cancer. That's how we get leaky gut disease. That's how we get all kinds of disorders that cause us to not be able to digest and assimilate our food. So number two is those vegetables. Number three is our proteins and our carbohydrates have to be balanced. We are biologically omnivores. When you get a group of people out there saying you got to eat all your food, meat and fat, don't touch vegetables and carbohydrates, you got to stand up and say bullshit. That's not how we're designed to eat. When you get the other people saying you got to stand up and eat all plants and all fats and animal stuff is evil, you got to stand up and say bullshit. Both of these things deny our biology. We are biologically omnivores, and the closer we live to our biology, the better off we're going to be in terms of our health and our stamina and our longevity. That's just the truth. good, bad, or ugly, I'm not here to make a moral statement, right? I'm not here to say that coffle farming is a good thing. It's not. Mm-hmm. The way we farm animals is absolutely egregious. But taking that to an extreme and saying I'm going to deny my biology is going to make us weaker, right? Yeah. So carbohydrates and proteins have got to be kept in balance. They need each other in the body. We have something that's really, really interesting. The keto diet helps people get brain clarity so amazingly that some people jump into the diet just because of that. Mm-hmm. What's true? It's true. The brain and the heart will biologically jump towards ketones for energy if both are present in the blood. But guess what? Every other tissue in your body will biologically prefer glucose. Mm-hmm. So having both in your body is super, super, super important so that each part of your body can defer to what it's designed to defer to. So having it all there is super important. So carbohydrates and proteins in balance with each other. And that's number three. Number four, which really I should have put at number one. Number four is get your freaking water, because none of this other stuff can transport through your body properly without it. And your water should be half your body weight in ounces every day. You weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. Water, water, not coffee, not tea, not alcohol, not eating wet foods, water. I love you, man. Right there, water. And that's the 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, how do you apply that? And that's the reason we created the Immunity Jumpstart Program, is to help people understand how to apply it and how to get past the roadblocks of, oh my God, I have these cravings. What the hell do I do? Or, you know, hey, this is just so hard. We help you through that, through Immunity Jumpstart, to get through those roadblocks so that you can apply the 1, 2, 3, 4 to you.
Awesome. Is there, when you talk about water, because I've heard this before, is there a risk of drinking too much water? So how close to that half your body weight should you stick to? Or is there a range that you can stay within?
So this is fun, because a few years back, there was a radio show that did a competition, and it was literally whoever can drink a gallon of water the fastest wins.
Yeah.
And so somebody downed a gallon of water, and an hour later they were dead. And they died from water overdose. And so that became national news, and everybody's like, oh my God, I got to be careful not to drink too much water. Well, no, this idiot drank a gallon of water in like a minute and a half. Yeah, that's stupid. Let's just call that what it is. That's stupid. Can you OD on water by drinking half your body weight in ounces? No. In order to OD on water, you have to have so much water in your body so fast that you literally make your blood too thin to do its job. And it's hard to do that. You have to do something stupid to accomplish that. If you're thirsty and you drink, no, you can't do that. If you're drinking half your body weight in ounces, no, you're never going to have a problem. If you're doing anything that's not inherently stupid, you're not going to have a problem. Not something you need to worry about.
Okay. So, you know, throughout the day, I usually drink around 3 liters or so of water. About a liter when I wake up, and then I make sure to, you know, drink the like a tall glass, throughout the rest of the day. Is that, and I'm 160 or so pounds. So what's that? That's 90 some ounces for
160 pounds is 80 ounces a day, which is slightly more than 2 liters. And if you're at 3 liters, no harm, no foul. I mean,
okay. I
encourage people, we call our program, when people are in the one-to-one coaching program with me, we call our process Zen. And the reason we call it Zen is because Zen is a spiritual combination of balance plus intuition. And when we talk about food in the body, it's the same kind of thing. We're going to teach you the balance, but we're also going to teach you how to intuit your body, how to hear what your body is telling you.
And if if
your body is saying, hey, I'm thirsty, don't say, sorry, you already had your quota for the day.
Yeah.
Listen, give your body what it needs. So if you're 3 liters a day, you're beautiful. The fact that I'm hearing you say you spread this through the day, that is so, so, so important that you start in the morning and you spread your water throughout the day, because you know as well as I do how fast water goes through you.
Yeah.
It's going to go boom, a couple hours time, it's gone. It's time to refresh that, right? So spreading it through the day, perfect approach. And yeah, golden now.
Awesome. So you talked about the immunity. You talked about some of the resources that you have. We're going to get the links for those in the show notes. You're giving this away for free, which is you and I were sort of chatting about the strategy behind that, and we have a lot of coaches who listen to coaches, consultants who listen to the program. You're doing this for free because it's an important service. It's not that it's it's not that it's maybe the very best business decision, but it is that's not a critique, but that it is really important for people. As you say, we're standing at the top of the hill and this virus is coming for us, and I know you and your value system. As many people have this knowledge or putting this in place, that's one more soldier who's actually able to fight it and who's not going to be a casualty that the rest of us have to contribute resources for. And so that's your why. That's a big part of your why, right? Do you want to speak some more to that?
Yeah, it's been kind of fascinating what's happened through this pandemic, because as soon as businesses slow down, as soon as people don't have work, guess what happens to all of us? Our income just goes woof. High ticket programs, pretty much off the shelf. I haven't sold one since this started. And that's okay, right? It's tight for me when that happens, but it's tight for everybody, right? We're still doing what we can, because right now we happen to have something that people really, really need, right? People do not need the next generation of Angry Birds. People need to know how to make their bodies strong. And we have that. So what are we going to do? We're going to give it to people because people need it. So we're doing two things right now, even in the face of reduced income as a company. In the Philippines, we have a nutritional fitness or an NF cafe, first one in the world. We opened it in Angeles City in December. We have it. So right now, nobody's coming to it. Complete lockdown in the Philippines. What do we do? Well, we've got all this food. We've got this resources. We've got a kitchen. We're used to making food that is designed for a strong body and immune system. So we're using what we have over there, and we're taking those meals to frontline aid workers and giving it to the people who need it most, the people who are exposed every day because their job requires it. And we can. So we
That's
are.
Awesome.
In the States here, we don't have an NF cafe, but we have a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of skill set. We have a lot of abilities. So we've fashioned that into a brand new program. Put it together on the fly, expect it to have rough edges because we got it out as quickly as we could. And that's the Immunity Jumpstart System, which we've released worldwide. And we're already getting people jumping into it from everywhere, from South America, from Europe, from Asia, people jumping in and taking advantage of it. And that's what we want. It's 100% free. It will never cost a dime ever. There's no recurring fees on the backside, none of that. Put in the code. And by the way, I didn't put this in your information, and I should. Put in the coupon code immune system, all lowercase, all one word, and that gets you a 100% discount on the program, period. And we want as many people in that as possible. Why? Because it's needed. It's needed, yeah. And we have it. So to not give it would just be criminally irresponsible, in my opinion. And so that's what we're doing, and we'll continue to do it for the duration of the pandemic.
That's awesome. And I would ask a personal request of our listeners. Of course, go there. Of course, grab that. And take the same link that we have in there to either share this episode or share the share the link to Belden's program, to the all of these tools that his team have put together for you, and share that out over the your social network. You're not paying anything for this, so shout it from the rooftops that this is a way that you can keep all of the people that you care about safe, and that you can do your part to the, you know, to shorten the curve, to lower the curve, because you're one less person that's at risk who might need an ICU bed. And so this is an incredible resource, man. And I'm so glad that, you know, I wish that we could have, you know, just talked about nutrition in you know, in an amazing economy, you know, without any disease that's, you know, coming for people. But this is the hand we were dealt. So I'm really glad that we could do this and, you know, get this out to some people.
And you know what? I've got a lot of faith in people, right? People, when the economy is better and people are like, cool, you know, nutritional fitness and F helped me weather this thing. We want to go back and talk to this guy because now I'd like to manage diabetes and heart disease and get the weight off my body. Well, we're still here. People will come back when the time comes. But right now, we all have something to accomplish together. So we need to do that.
Yep, absolutely. And I would encourage everyone to, you know, be thinking about that. The, you know, stick with the people who have, you know, been here for you, the, you know, through this. Dance with the one who brung you. Is that how the expression goes?
More or less.
Well, it is great to see you, Belden. Thanks so much for making some time to come onto the Client Whisperer show. We like to end every episode with the same question, especially for people who work with clients. What does client success mean to you?
I had a client day before yesterday. He was stressing out a little bit about all the news and worried. And I could sense that. I could sense it based on what he wrote in his social media posts. So I reached out to him and talked to him, helped him frame a few things a little bit differently. It's not really my bailiwick. I work with people on nutrition and their health. This guy just needed to be calmed down. But he put a post into our client group, which to me is exactly what client success looks like. He said, "Dear Belden," so it's right there in the public or in their private group. He said, "Dear Belden, I thank God every day that you are in my life." That's client success. The more clients come to me, I mean, you hear the same as I do, Tony, all the coaches and all the consultants and all the people on the back end with these stupid ass arguments about what it means to coach and where are you overstepping your bounds on coaching and are you really a consultant and you're not a coach, damn it. And they argue about this stuff. Client success is if my client is able to get from point A to point Z successfully, I've done my job, whatever that requires of me. And I don't mean dropping your boundaries and being willing to let a client take charge. No, clients don't know what they need in every case.
Yep.
But if you successfully get that person down the path so that they go from their starting point to their goal, that is client success. And when they come back to you and they recognize that and they say to you what that client said to me, that is client success.
I couldn't agree more, man. Thanks so much. And I hope that you have a phenomenal rest of your weekend. We're recording this, just in case you wonder how hardworking we are, we're recording this for you on the weekend so that we can get it out, so that we can get it out right away. So have a great rest of your weekend, man. I'll see you.
Love you, Tony.
You too, Belden.